All right. Your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Just starting Daniel chapter 12, and we've got, we'll start with verse 1 and then we'll get into it. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for this day and this night. And as we come together and worship you and meet to hear from you, I pray, Father, that you'd speak again to us, each one personally. We thank you for all that you're going to accomplish tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we can have it and that we can study it. We can meditate upon it. Father, that we can apply it to our lives, and I pray that we would be obedient to your word, that we would love you so much, that the things of this world would just pale in comparison. And we just love you and want to be doing your will, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we have the final events of the last days, the protection of Israel by the angel Michael during the tribulation. Michael is Israel's guardian angel. He will help deliver Israel through the worst period of human history since the creation. It is Michael who will cast Satan out of heaven. It's interesting, when I get to this point in reading the Bible, when we get to the tribulation period and all, there are some people that believe that this is the tribulation. That what we're living through today is the tribulation. It's not even remotely close. Not even remotely close. There are some people that believe, as a child of God, that we will go through the tribulation period. I don't believe that. I believe the rapture occurs before the tribulation. We're out of here. I believe the Bible teaches that. And so we're going to be home with Jesus in heaven, and we're not going to have to go through that period. But it's going to be a terrible time, and the Bible tells us, a time such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. It's going to be worse than anything we can even go back and look at in time. And people are going to realize that maybe, just maybe, the Bible's correct, right? Just maybe, that all that time they said, no, I don't believe it, I don't believe it, I don't believe it, that maybe, look at what's going on, look what happens. How do you explain away people just disappearing? How do you explain that away? I believe they're working on it, because they're going to have something to tell people, right? You can't just have a bunch of people disappear from the planet Earth, right, and not have some way to explain it. I mean, it would... If you think this COVID thing was a nightmare, can you imagine what it's going to be like when a bunch of people in this population are gone? Just out of here. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a nice, quick journey home. And so, and as the Bible says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, right? But Revelation 12:7-8 says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven." They still don't win, right? They think they're winning. And if you look at it from man's perspective, does it not look like the devil's winning? I mean, when you look at this thing from man's perspective and you go, man, what I see is things are getting worse and worse, and it seems like evil is ruling. The Bible is very clear. The devil does not win. The devil does not win. The thing that helps the devil, by the way, I will say, is when God's people allow the Satan to have a foothold in their life and then start acting like Satan himself. And then we have an issue. But if we would not allow that, we have the ability to say no to the devil. We just have to use that little word. It's kind of like that if word, right? Two letters. No. It's a very powerful word if we just use it when the devil tries to tempt us into doing things. And he will help the escaping one-third Israelite nation into Petra. Zechariah 13:8-9, it says, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." That's the way it should be, right? If you belong to God, you should say, the Lord is my God. Not the Lord is a God, right? But the Lord is my God. It's a personal thing. I've said for many, many years, and I'm going to continue saying it as long as God gives me breath, it's not about religion, it's about a personal relationship. Is the Lord your God? If it's not personal, you don't have a relationship, folks. He has to be your God. He can't just be a God. He has to be your God. And so we understand that He is our God, and we want Him to say, these are my people, right? When the rapture comes, Jesus is coming back for His people. People say, well, that's the nation of Israel. I'm talking about all saved people. He's going to come back and all saved people are going with Him. And I'm looking forward to that very much so. In Revelation 12:14, it says, "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent." The resurrection of the saved and the lost. Daniel 12:2-3 says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." The resurrection to eternal life. There's some that don't believe that that's going to happen, like I said, before the tribulation. I believe wholeheartedly it is. I believe the Bible teaches that it's going to happen beforehand. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through the tribulation. I've read enough about it. It's not going to be fun. And the first 3.5 years is going to be better than the last 3.5 years, but it's still not going to be any fun. And so I don't want to be any part of it. And so why would people who profess to know God not get in and study it and find out what the Bible says? Why would they just believe because somebody told them? I mean, I've talked to many people over the years, and they say, well, the preacher at the church said that we're going to be here for the tribulation period, and so I got to get ready for that. And so they're making all of these plans to be here for something that they're not going to be here for, if they're saved. Now, I can't see their heart, so I don't know for sure, but they profess to know Christ as Savior. If that's the case, you're not going to be here. Why are you preparing for something that's not going to happen for you? What do you need to prepare for the tribulation period if you're on your way out of here before it takes place? We don't need to prepare for that. We need to trust in God and His Word and just be ready to go. The reward of all the righteous soul winners is mentioned in Daniel 12:3. This gives us a clue to the nature of the crowns or rewards of the saints shining eternally to glorify Jesus. Now, I've said before, the Bible is very clear that we are going to get crowns that we are going to cast at His feet. These are rewards, right? Rewards for what we've done that didn't burn up, right? That aren't the wood, hay, and stubble that burned up. But these are the eternal reward. These are the things that we did with the right attitude and for the right reasons. These are the things that we did not expecting that we were going to get all the glory and honor and praise, but that God would get all the glory and honor and praise. He's going to reward us for these things. Isn't it? I mean, isn't eternal life enough? Shouldn't eternal life be enough? But then we get the blessings while we're here, and then we get rewards up there that we get to turn around and cast at His feet to give back to Him. It's not to buy our salvation, because we can't do that. It's to give them back to Him as we show glory and honor to Him for what He's done. It's all about Him. And so praise the Lord that we're going to be able to do that one day. The resurrection of those to shame and everlasting contempt. There's going to be those who are going to be resurrected to shame. Those who rejected Jesus Christ. Those who've said, not interested, right? I had a conversation with one this morning. It was in our presence, and I said, it was talking about people who have rejected Christ and all. I said, that's their choice. It's their choice. Now, it saddens me when they do that, but that's their choice. God gave us all free will. We get to choose to do right, or we get to choose to do wrong. We get to choose to accept Christ, or we get to choose to reject Christ. That's our choice. Now, there's some religious groups, and if you go through history, you'll find that if you didn't believe what they believe, they killed you. You were done away with. Baptists, we don't believe that. We believe they have a right to choose. We can't be, folks, if we could beat everyone to within an inch of their life to get them to accept Christ, don't you think we'd do it? Wouldn't you want to rescue them from hell? But it doesn't do any good. Jesus said, no, that's not the way to do it. The way to do it is to warn them of the impending danger and let them make a choice. And so we have to warn them. It's our job to warn them, right? The Bible is very clear. If we fail to warn them, their blood's on our hands. If we warn them and they reject, their blood's on their hands. It's pretty clear. So we warn them, they make the choice. And if they choose to reject Christ, all we can do is pray for them. I know it doesn't sound like much, but prayer is the work. Prayer is the work, and it's amazing. I mean, we heard of answered prayer tonight. God answers prayer. So keep praying. Don't stop praying for those people who are still not saved. One of the gentlemen here today, he says, I have one son, and he's lost. I said, don't give up praying. He says, well, he finally told me he's going to church. I said, well, that's a good step in the right direction, but going to church doesn't save you. Keep praying that he'll get saved. That's what he needs. Don't give up. There's always, as long as they still have breath, we still have hope that they might get saved. And then I shared with him that my dad was in his 60s when he got saved. He goes, there is hope then. There is hope. There's always hope while they still have breath. Keep praying. And they may have rejected, right? They may have said, I don't want to hear anymore. Keep praying. Keep praying. It's important that we continue to do that. The sealing of Daniel's prophecies. We'll see those in verse 4 and 8 through 10. Daniel 12:4a, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. And 8 and 9 says, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Now the understanding of the book of Daniel is sealed until the last days. No serious attempts have been made to understand the details of this book until modern times. Daniel 12:4b, it says, many shall run to and fro. There's going to be an increase in speed and travel in the last days. Have we seen that? Of course we have the need for speed, right? Man loves speed. You don't think so? Just watch. Every once in a while I'll be out on the freeway and all of a sudden this car will just go and be gone. And it's like, are you people crazy? I saw that guy on a motorcycle the other day. He came, I was looking in the rearview mirror. Nobody was back there. And the next thing I know, there's a motorcycle in front of me. I have no idea where he came from, but he was gone like that. The need for speed, right? Travel, increased speed and travel in the last days. You can get anywhere pretty quick these days, right? Doesn't take all that long. I mean, there's some places of the world that it takes 12, 14 hours to get there, 16 hours sometimes. But that's really not all that long when you think of how far you're going. It's just not that big a deal, right? So we got that need for travel and speed. Daniel 12:4c, and knowledge shall be increased. There'll be an increase in knowledge in the last days. I mean, this is kind of a conflict here because I've been saying we've had the dummying up of America for years. We've had the indoctrination of America for years. But there are some nations that have far surpassed the knowledge that we have here in the United States of America. It's amazing. It amazes me when they talk about these standardized tests, the SATs and all that stuff to get into college. They said, do you know who ranks the highest in those tests? Asians. Asians rank the highest in those tests. And so now, of course, they're saying they're racist because they don't allow other ethnic groups to excel. Well, if we want to, right, you have to apply yourself. You have to take the initiative and apply yourself and learn. Is anybody not able to learn something? I mean, if God gave you a brain, right? He gave you the ability to learn. I can tell you, when I was in high school, I worked with at-risk children in the elementary school. 1 hour a day of my class, I went over, they called it a tutorial thing, and I went over and I worked with kids that were autistic, that had Down syndrome, that had all kinds of disabilities, and by the time I was done working with them over that year, I had them doing things that they said these kids would never do. And I only got them an hour a day. Well, not quite an hour. It was about 45 minutes. I had to have drive time back and forth. But about 45 minutes a day, every day, 5 days a week. And at the end of a school year, they were doing things that they said these kids are not even supposed to be able to do. Work with them. Everybody has the ability to learn. Now, are they going to be rocket scientists? Probably not. But they can learn if they apply themselves. Just like anyone else, if we apply ourselves, we can learn whatever. We hold ourselves back. We tell ourselves, I'm just not smart enough to learn that. If you wanted to, if you would apply yourself, you could. But there's an increased knowledge. There's the ability to have increased knowledge. We have some. Look at, and I'm not giving the internet as the best reliable source for stuff, but look at how easy it is to learn today. You go, you get online, and you can have a Zoom class like that, right? Now, I have to say, I've taken live classes, and I think they're a lot more, you gain a lot more from a live class and the interaction in them, but you can still learn. You can go online, and you can learn stuff. If you want to, but we have to apply ourselves, right? I mean, it's not, you can't sit in front of a computer and just stare at it and expect something's going to happen with it, right? We have to turn it on. We have to get involved. We have to do our part. And then we can increase in knowledge if we want to. So there's an increase in knowledge in the last days. Daniel 12:10, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. By the end of time, the wicked will be confirmed and judged for their wickedness, and the saved will be made pure and wise to understand these things. I believe wholeheartedly, when we get to heaven, our learning has not stopped. I think we're going to still be learning. We're going to be learning from the Word Himself. He's going to be teaching us, and we're going to continue to learn. Now, I think we're going to get there, and we're going to go, so that's what that meant. Or, I remember seeing that. Why didn't I know this? Right? I think there's going to be what we call the light bulb go on, and we're going to realize some things that we don't really see here. And if you look at the Old Testament, what happened? God told him exactly. Jesus was going to come. He was going to be the Messiah. He was going to be born. All of that stuff, they knew. Should have known. How'd they miss it? We look back and go, those goofballs, how did they miss it? Well, are we going to get to heaven and there are going to be some people in heaven going, well, how'd those goofballs miss it? I think maybe. But again, if we take the time and we apply ourselves and we study, we can figure these things out. Right? The things that we should know. And we should know more than we knew yesterday, right? Then the great tribulation and the preparations for the millennial reign of Christ, Daniel 12:5-7 and 11-13. 5-7 says, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on the other side of the bank of the river. And one said to the other man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half, and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. The great tribulation, 1260 days, a time, times, and a half. 1260 days. The duration of the final horrible half of the tribulation will last as long as it takes for the pride and power of the Jews to be broken, or 3.5 years. Now, pride is a terrible thing. God says one of the things he hates is pride. It's easy to get prideful. It's hard to be humble. But it's easy to get prideful. We have to be careful that we don't get prideful, because that's something God hates. And yet, it takes time to break people from their prideful attitudes. We have a society that says it's all about me, right? Not me, but the person in general. It's all about me. Me first. We had a thing the other day, and I said, we were standing in line, and I told the guy, I said, you go first. And I said, after you, I can be first. And he just looked at me, and he kind of smiled, and I didn't know who he was. We were in line at the checkout. And I just thought, allow him to go first. I didn't care. It didn't matter to me if I went first or he went first, but just let him go first. And he just looked at me and kind of smiled, didn't say anything, and checked out, and he went on his way. Okay, that's fine. But we don't always have to be first. It can be about the other person, which is what the Bible teaches us, right? We're supposed to do that. And so I didn't have a problem with that. How many times, the question was asked the other day, how many times when you're standing in line at the checkout and you have a cart that's overflowing, and the person behind you has one item, and you make them wait? Just look back and say, why don't you go first? Because you're going to be a whole lot quicker than we are, right? It's not that hard to do unless you have the idea that me first, right? I have to be first. I have to be first. And so sometimes we can show kindness to others by letting them go first, and it not so bad. But pride sometimes tells us, no, I'm first. I'm better than they are. I need to go first. No, we need to get rid of those attitudes. Daniel 12:11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. The judgments following the tribulation, 1,290 days. This period includes an additional 30 days, perhaps to carry out the sheep-goat judgment mentioned in Matthew 25, 31 through 46, which says, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Much better to go into life eternal than into everlasting punishment, as we've read over and over in the Word of God. I was mentioning to a gentleman this morning in the service, I said, if you go through the Bible, he says, I think heaven's going to be far beyond anything we can imagine. I think so too. The Bible talks more about hell than it does about heaven. There's a reason for that, to warn people about where they might end up. Heaven is so miraculously wonderful, I think we're not even going to have a glimpse of what it's going to be like till we get there. We have an idea, but it's not probably exactly what we think it is. I mean, talks about walking the streets of gold, right? Here on this planet Earth, we think gold is very valuable, right? How about walking the streets of gold? How valuable is it when you're paving the streets with it? Doesn't sound like it's as valuable as we make it out to be, right? But we think it's it, right? It's the thing we need. And people will tell you, buy up all the silver and gold you can get your hands on, right? So you can pave the streets of heaven with it? I mean, I get it. It's another monetary device, tool. We may need to switch to that at some point, right? I don't know. Anybody got a crystal ball that's not cloudy? I mean, people ask me to see the future all the time. I have a crystal ball, but it's very cloudy. I can't see. None of us can. We don't know for sure. The only things we know for sure is what God tells us. That's the only things we know for sure. And then Daniel 12:12 and 13. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. The preparations for the millennial reign of Christ, 1,335 days. A period of 75 additional days, perhaps for setting up the governmental machinery for carrying on the rule of Christ. I don't know about you folks, but I'm looking forward to when this whole thing's over, Satan's cast into the lake of fire, and we are spending eternity with God in heaven. I am so tired of Satan. I am so tired of all that he does. All he does is try to put a wrench, monkey wrench, into everything that happens in this world. I'm looking forward to when God says enough is enough, this thing's done, praise the Lord, I get out of here before that. And as I've said many times, you've got a bunch of people running around telling us that this world is coming to an end and it's soon. You've got at least 1,007 years. At least 1,007 years before this thing is burned up by God, not by man. I don't think we need to concern ourselves with the destruction of this planet in the near future. Not if you know the Word of God. Not if you know exactly what's going to take place. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful again for your Word. We're thankful for the fact that as a child of God, anyone here tonight as a child of God will not be here for this terrible tribulation time, but we'll be out of here. We'll already be in heaven. The Bible tells us clearly, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So I pray, Father, during this time tonight, that we have comfort and peace in knowing that we're not going to go through that period of time. Comfort and peace in knowing that as a child of God, we get to spend eternity with you. Father, but my heart goes out to those who have rejected the Word of God. Those who maybe have not even been given the opportunity to make a decision one way or the other. I pray, Father, that we would be faithful in going out and getting the message out to people to warn them of the impending danger so they too can make a decision for Christ. But Father, as we all know, free will has been given to man. Some will choose Christ and some will reject Christ. It saddens us for those who reject, but it is their choice. So we thank you for this evening. Pray, Father, that you would guide and direct and use us to your honor and your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.